Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, author J.B. Hickson continues his series revealing the dangerous rise of the global technocracy. Prophecy in the News Live, our in-person conference, is coming to the Tri-Cities area tomorrow. This Friday and Saturday, March 8th and 9th, we'll be featuring Bill Federer, Greg Patton, Dr. Kenneth Hill, Micah Van Hus, Larry Stamm, Josh Davis, Mark Lindstedt, and Clayton Van Hus. The latest details on the march toward a one-world system will be revealed, biblical mysteries will be uncovered, and you'll learn how to have true spiritual victory in the invisible war on the saints. Biblical artifacts from Israel will be on display with an archaeologist ready to answer your questions. This Friday and Saturday, March 8th and 9th, at Antioch Baptist Church in Bristol, Virginia. Call 1-800-652-1144 for more information, or visit the events page at our website, swrc.com. Tickets for this special event are free, but the seating is limited, so don't be left behind. Make sure you register today and join us tomorrow. 1-800-652-1144. What are some dangers of emerging technologies like AI? How are we moving toward a central bank digital currency? And why is this a dangerous idea? What are the solutions to the problems of this growing technocracy in our lives? Let's find out. Here's Josh Davis with today's guest, author J.B. Hickson.
Dr. J.B. Hickson joins us on Watchmen on the Wall again today to continue discussing the key end times figure known as the false prophet. So how will technologies like AI aid the false prophet? How will he hack and track people? These are the kinds of things that we're going to be talking about today, along with our guest, Dr. J.B. Hickson. He's the founder and president of Not By Works Ministries. You can visit their website at notbyworks.org. That's notbyworks.org. And he serves the Lord as a pastor, professor, and national conference speaker. He's written 12 books, including the one that we're discussing today. It's called The Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy. Dr. Hickson, we welcome you back to Watchmen on the Wall.
Oh, my pleasure, Josh. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's dive into some of the details with AI technology. What are some of the dangers inherent in this emerging technology, and how do you see AI being used during the Great Tribulation?
Yeah, so there are a lot of dangers of AI that I talk about in really the biggest chapter in the book, chapter 6, entitled Artificial Intelligence, Science Fiction No Longer. There are many anecdotes out there and more every day, but one of the biggest is a story about the U.S. Air Force conducting a simulation in which an AI-enabled drone that was tasked with destroying surface-to-air missile sites turned on the very officer who was controlling it. This was all in simulation, of course, but killed its operator. And that has caused a lot of people to really, that type of thing, by the way, and stories of AI going rogue are more and more common every day. But, you know, the thing that gets my attention is some of the top experts in this field, they may not be believers, they're not necessarily coming from a biblical worldview, but they are the ones that are pioneering AI. They're now sounding the alarm and saying, we have to be careful, we can't control it, it takes on a life of its own. Congress has held hearings on it. Recently, they sent a bunch of congressional staffers and other department heads to Stanford to attend a mass training or kind of a compact training over the weekend to learn the dangers of AI. You've got senators and congressmen suggesting we need AI to keep, we need legislation to keep AI away from the nuclear button. I mean, the bottom line is this is uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. We are programming computers that program themselves. Once you kind of push go, you don't really know what's going to happen. In a very real sense, it's like the Frankenstein old school laboratory where they're let's mix this vial and this vial and see what happens. So it's a concern. AI, of course, stands for artificial intelligence, and the big holy grail, so to speak, in this field is artificial general intelligence, where essentially it has achieved human-like capabilities, can think for itself, express emotions. I tell the story in the book of Google's some of Google's experts that thought AI had become sentient. Interviews at conferences where they interview an embodied AI, and you just can't tell that you're talking to someone that's not human. So it's a real issue.
Yeah, and speak about that sentience there that you just mentioned. What's your opinion on that? I know many people ponder that kind of question. Could they be saved? Could they not be saved? Or what kind of a being is this?
That gets into a lot of biblical anthropology, biblical demonology, and the like. I do believe that Satan's celestial evil beings can, in fact, inhabit inanimate objects and certainly can influence them. It all comes down to transhumanism, and that's another big discussion that I have in the book, a big chapter on transhumanism. The Luciferians hate God. They hate humanity. Humanity is made in God's image, so when they see us, they just seethe. They want to destroy humanity and sort of as an in-your-face to God, and they think they can do better. This whole concept of build back better. They think that they can transcend humanity. That's where transhumanism comes from. And so that's why you hear guys like Yuval Noah Harari, who we talked about yesterday, saying humans are redundant, we don't need them, we can do better, the merging of man and machine, this type of thing. Can artificial intelligence become sentient? I think it can. It won't be in the image of God, and it won't be redeemable, it won't be a human being, which is God's highest pinnacle of creation. But certainly, as it learns through AI, everything about us, from our emotions to our thought process, I mean, they're now replicating brains with brain-computer interfaces. I think it can not be sentient in an anthropological way, a human way, but it can, in every observable way, express emotions and thought and analysis. And some of the interviews that we give in the book are just stunning. I mean, you'll never know you're talking to a robot if you weren't told ahead of time.
Well, let's go down that road a little bit more as we want to talk about, you discussed the hacking and the tracking of humanity. So how are some of these emerging technologies aiding the hacking and tracking of humanity?
A lot of it has to do with the speed with which they can access data. So, for example, right now, and this has been true ever since the digital age, everybody in America, and they're trying to get everybody on the planet eventually, but everybody in America, certainly, and all the major first world countries, has what's called a bit bucket. And it's in a massive server farm somewhere in America that's outside Utah, in Utah there, in Sandy, Utah, outside Salt Lake City. And everything that we say, write, speak, type digitally is stored in that bit bucket. But if they want to access that information, they have to run algorithms, they have to have a reason to do it. They're not proverbially listening in on every conversation, at least not humans, but it's being tracked. There's no question about that. We have all kinds of whistleblowers that have talked about that, and I've addressed the fusion centers in my books. But with AI, they can do it in real time. So someone shows up to purchase eggs and milk. Well, instantly, it can quickly process your data in your bit bucket and realize that they think you have too big of a carbon footprint, or you ate too much sugar last week, or you said something hateful on social media, or what they deem to be hateful. And so they can instantly block you, and they say, sorry, you're not eligible to make a purchase. So it's AI really is as a factor of how they can process the data, and then what do they do with that data. AI is just a broad term, of course, and they can do all kinds of things with it. I think from a prophetic standpoint, one of the biggest ways AI is likely to manifest itself is through embodied AI. You've got the image of the beast. Well, in old and ancient times, the image was literally a statue, a material statue that kings and pagan leaders would put up around their region, their domain, to remind people who's in charge. And, you know, these images. Think about Nebuchadnezzar's, you know, statue, for example. Mm-hmm. But in the end times, I think the Antichrist is going to have embodied AI, humanoids, so to speak, that look like him and remind everybody that he's in charge. But they do more than that. They also, because of technology, what they see is recorded and processed. What they hear is recorded and processed. It's sent back to a central server. farm. And I paint a picture of this. I forget which chapter it's in, but it was somewhere in the book. I think it might be in chapter 6. But I kind of paint a picture based on what we know and what the Bible says of what life might be like in that day after the rapture. And it's a pretty sobering thought. And the fact is, it is possible. We don't know. I'm not here to, like you said, set dates or make hard, fast predictions. But it's very plausible to think that this is the type of technology the Antichrist will use.
Yes, absolutely. Well, friends, we're visiting with Dr. J.B. Hixon, and we're discussing his new book, Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy. You can pick up a copy by calling our ministry at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or visit us online at swrc.com. This book is about 250 pages in length and filled with all kinds of information, as we discussed on yesterday's program and today's. And Dr. Hixon, and the world is quickly moving towards a central bank digital currency. You were touching on some of that with the last question, but why is this such a dangerous idea? What's wrong with a central bank digital currency?
I think there are two things that are wrong with it. The biggest is the tracking capability of it. It really is something that means you have no privacy. Everything you purchase is now trackable. And it already is if you use credit cards or any other digital means. But again, it's a little bit harder to get to that data. I mean, with cameras and facial recognition and cash registers and, you know, those types of things, they could piece together a timeline pretty easily and figure out what you bought, especially if you're using a credit card of some kind or digital card. But with a CBDC, it's all automated. It's all already kind of centralized. And so I think that's the biggest piece of it. But the other piece of it is control. Again, if you have regular money, which, you know, I get into the history of the monetary system in the book, and what we now call money, the Federal Reserve notes, is not money. It's a debt instrument. The privately owned Federal Reserve Bank prints money, and the U.S. government pays them interest on every dollar bill, $5 bill, $10 bill, and so forth. But at least in those cases, you know, no one, it's not trackable, right? If I pay you $20 for a knickknack at a garage sale, no one's going to know that unless they've got a surveillance camera that they can tap into. But certainly they're not going to know it instantly, and it's not going to be trackable.
Sure.
But with the CBDC, now they can control that. And if they require you to pay your taxes, for example, or to, you know, your property taxes, or to get your Social Security deposits made through this digital currency, everything becomes trackable, but it also is now controllable because they can turn it off instantly with the touch of a button.
And I know that sounds somewhat dystopian to some people, but these things are happening in our world right now. I know that here in the U.S., there's been tests done on a digital dollar system. The Federal Reserve has done that and even did it at the beginning of last year. There's international tests. The International Monetary Fund, for instance, is talking about ways that we can move the world towards a central bank digital currency. So these things aren't far-fetched, Dr. Hixon. These things aren't in the distant future, but these are things that we're seeing emerging in our world even as we speak. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, what's interesting, Josh, is that I think Christians need to understand, as rapidly as things are moving, it's entirely possible that we could be in this sort of global one-world system even before the rapture. Because the Bible simply says the Antichrist and false prophet take the helm of this one-world system. It's not necessarily the case that they inaugurate it or implement it. In fact, I would argue that based on the biblical description, it's going to be next to impossible for them to implement it. They won't have enough time unless you've got decades between the rapture and the signing of the treaty in Daniel 9:27, which very few scholars would think it's going to be that long of a gap. I see us rapidly approaching the fall of the United States and something happening here that it requires us to sign on to the one world system. And, you know, it's very possible that we could be raptured in the midst of a one world system that the Antichrist and false prophets simply take control of in due course. So, yeah, I think it is dystopian in the technical sense of the word. But as you said on yesterday's program, folks need to understand that, you know, we know who wins in the end. When things
yes.
are falling apart all around. soundness. It just means they're coming together, plan of the ages. And greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world, 1 John 4:4. And so as believers, we need to heed the warning of Proverbs 22:3, which is that a wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it, but yet not with a spirit of fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. We should never be scared, only prepared. So I think for believers, this is an exciting time, but it's a sober time. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, you know, we don't want to be asleep like others, but we want to be awake and aware. And then, of course, for unbelievers, which a lot of people who don't know the Lord are becoming aware that something is up. I mean, that this world is crazy, and that we're being lied to, and things are just unsettling. So this is a great opportunity for evangelism. And for those who don't know the Lord, I would say, you know, today's the day of salvation. You need to place your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and rose again. Pay your personal penalty for sin, and he's the only hope of salvation.
Yes, absolutely. Friends, we're visiting with Dr. J.B. Hixon and discussing the book, Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy. And you can get in touch with his ministry by going to notbyworks.org. If you'd like to order a copy of this book, you can call us at 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. And you can visit us online at swrc.com. That's swrc.com. And Dr. Hixon, in the few minutes that we have remaining, why don't you continue to share some of those important solutions that people need as they prepare themselves for what's coming?
Yeah, one of the things I'm most excited about in this new book is Chapter 9, which is called Escaping the Prison Planet. We can be discouraged what's happening, but again, we know that Christ is going to come back someday and make all things new, and this is just a sign of the times. But we don't know when the Lord's going to come back, and so we need to be prepared to provide for our families, to protect our families. So we incorporated into Chapter 9 a document that we've had for years, and we've, you know, over the years we've edited it and revised it and made it better, added things to it. But it's called the NBW Preparedness Guide. It's a 12-page document. It's free. You don't have to buy the book to get it. You can go to our website and click on the store, and then in the free section, we have a whole section of free resources that you can download. You don't need a credit card. You just put them in your cart, and we send them right to you. But one of those is the NBW Preparedness Guide. And so obviously in this short of a time, we don't have time to go into all the details, but that would be a great resource. It goes through various lists of food, supplies, eventualities, scenarios that might play out. There's no one-size-fits-all when it comes to preparedness, but we need to understand it is a biblical concept, and we want to be wise. So you need to think at the macro level about food, water, shelter, and protection. Those are the big four. You know, you can live, 1 minute or so without air. You can live 1 week or so without water, and you can live 1 month without food, something like that. I may have those numbers. But those are the main things. If you can't go to Walmart or your local grocery store, how long could you survive? You know, if something happened that caused us to be sequestered in our homes for 6 months, would you survive? And we give solutions to all of that in the book and in the preparedness guide. And, you know, so I think people need to think about stockpiling the types of things that could come in handy. We've become a very dependent culture, very easy. You know, you can go online. I won't say you and I, but I would assume you, like most people, probably go online multiple times a week and order stuff from Amazon, and it's delivered sometimes the same day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But what if you can't do that? You know, what if you can't do that? So, you know, people need to think through shelter. If you're in a cold state like we are in the mountains, you know, how do you stay warm? If you're in a hot state, how can you stay cool? What do you do for water? Can you kill a deer if you had to? Can you fish? You know, so it's not as, can be overwhelming, but if you just do the next thing, just start doing, so every time you go to the store, pick up a few extra canned goods or 5-pound bag of beans or rice, and you know, those kinds of things can really start to add up and make a difference.
Yes, you're right, Dr. Hixon, and it's important that people be physically prepared. And I know that earlier you spoke about the spiritual preparation, and we know that people need to be spiritually prepared for these kinds of things that may happen. And we don't want anyone, and the Bible tells us that God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance in 2 Peter 3:9. And we know that he wants everyone to be in the rapture and to be called up to be with him. We certainly don't know what's going to happen between now and then, and we don't know when that day is. And so we need to be prepared for what may come to protect ourselves, our families, and take that responsibility seriously. Well, Dr. Hixon, I thank you so very much for joining us on yesterday's and today's program.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. Really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Today in the Resource Spotlight, we are featuring J.B. Hixon's book, Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy. The stage is being set for global tyranny in previously unimaginable ways. Yesterday's science fiction stories have become today's headlines as technological advancements provide powerful new tools in the Luciferian arsenal. Thanks to stunning developments in the realm of artificial intelligence, a full-spectrum planetary control grid is now well within reach for Satan's earthly co-conspirators. J.B. Hixon's book, Spirit of the False Prophet, investigates the Luciferian conspiracy by digging deeper into the role of the Antichrist henchman, the False Prophet. How will AI, biometric surveillance, digital currency, and a global ID system pave the way for the coming global technocracy and the Mark of the Beast? Discover the answers for yourself in Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy by J.B. Hixon. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order this important book at our website, swrc.com. Coming up this Friday and Saturday in Bristol, Virginia, our next Prophecy in the News live event will be held. One of the speakers will be Marginal Mysteries host and author Micah Van Hus. Here's Micah with a preview of the topics that he'll be covering at this weekend's special event.
I am your host, Micah Van Hus. I produce Marginal Mysteries for Southwest Radio Ministries, and I just recently finished writing my book, Secret Societies, my third book for Marginal Mysteries, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I've had a ton of fun writing about the secret societies and studying about them. But before we get into that, I want to promote the upcoming conference at Antioch Baptist Church in Bristol, Virginia. That's just across the border from Tennessee. So if you live in the Tri-Cities area, Tennessee, Virginia, make sure you come out to the Prophecy in the News Live. That's March 8th and 9th, Friday and Saturday, Antioch Baptist Church in Virginia. We have all kinds of speakers coming from Dr. Hill, Pastor Josh Davis, Mark Lindstedt, Pastor Patton, Larry Stamm, my brother Clayton Van Hus, and William Federer. They'll be talking about all kinds of awesome topics. And I will be talking Friday about the Earth as it was, which we've talked about a bit on this program, about my speculation about the Earth as it was before the flood of Noah, backed up by Scripture. We talk about dinosaurs, we talk about creation, we talk about giants, we talk about angels, we talk about mankind and the earth as it was. Saturday, I will be talking about my new book, Secret Societies. It's a presentation I've given numerous times across the country. I do enjoy talking about secret societies and what they've done to our world. Make sure that you register online at swrc.com, swrc.com. That is Southwest Radio Ministries' website. Go to the events page and you'll see the very first event for the Tri-Cities Conference. It is a free conference, so make sure you head over there and sign up. I'll be talking about secret societies, and so in my secret societies book, we answer all kinds of questions. Why do secret societies exist? What is their end game? And today I'm just going to give you the overview without answering the most deepest questions, because you got to buy the book if you want to figure those out. You can do that at marginalmysteries.com, marginalmysteries.com. So secret societies, where did they start? So the oldest secret societies that we have written about is from before the flood of Noah, the Serpent Brotherhood. And of course, it was the serpent in the garden, either representative for fallen angels and Satan, or they were actually serpentine. It's one of those two. There's all kinds of writings, ancient writings, that talk about the serpentine angels. A number of books, let's see, Tom Horn's last book before he passed was Before Genesis, which talks about the world before creation. I think it's quite possible that the world was here in the spiritual realm. I don't guess that Earth was physical because obviously creation, God makes our physical realm. But we know as Christians, there's multiple dimensions. There is a spiritual dimension. So I don't see anything precluding God from creating in the spiritual realm something at the earth that existed for the angels beforehand. That's an interesting book by Tom Horne. It's called Before Genesis. The oldest secret society that we know about, the Serpent Brotherhood from before the flood. The Watchers come down in Genesis chapter 6. That's the fifth generation from Adam in the days of Jared. And they teach all kinds of forbidden knowledge to mankind. We don't find it in the Bible, but we do find in ancient writings, we find that the sons of Lamech, they carved the knowledge of the Watchers onto two different pillars to preserve it. Genesis chapter 4 talks about the sons of Lamech and the knowledge that they knew. One of them was a player of a harp and organ. One of them was an animal husbandman, meaning he took care of animals. One of them, Tubal-Cain, was a mixer of metals, an artificer of metals. Genesis, the scripture does hint that they have some knowledge that maybe other people didn't have. So the ancient writings say that they knew God was going to destroy the earth with fire or water. They didn't know which. So they carved the forbidden knowledge of the Watchers onto two stones. And after the flood, according to these ancient legends, Hermes, the Greek god, found one of these pillars and shared that knowledge with Nimrod. Another thing that the secret societies are trying to do is usher in a final battle against the Creator. Guess what? They're going to get that battle, but they're not going to win. That's the Battle of Armageddon. So anyway, check out Secret Societies at MarginalMysteries.com. But I want to remind you that we do have a conference coming up right here in the Tri-Cities at Antioch Baptist Church in Virginia. It's March 8th and 9th. It is free, but please do go online and register so we know how many people to prepare for. On Friday, I will be talking about the Earth as it was. And on Saturday, I will be talking about my new book, Secret Societies. So come out and enjoy worshiping the Lord together.
How will AI, biometric surveillance, digital currency, and a global ID system pave the way for the coming global technocracy and the mark of the beast? Discover the answers for yourself in Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy by J.B. Hickson. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Vital information is found in the pages of this important book, Spirit of the False Prophet, Rise of the Global Technocracy, 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, we'll listen in on an important conversation with Pastor Doug Stauffer. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station or by subscribing to our daily Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.